Shalom Aleichem, everyone, as we prepare for Shabbos, I believe it's Parshas Bahaloscha, if I'm not mistaken, and it's Hashem, a extraordinary Kriya Satira with many Chalakim in the Parsha that are roi to learn with a great Iyun. Today, I'd like to share with you a thought, and the thought has to do with the Maisa Miriam at the end of the parasha, which is always fascinating. Miriam and Aaron, on their Madrega, spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu inappropriately, and as a result of that, Miriam suffered a tzaras. There seems to be a problem here. Miriam certainly did a full tshuva on what she did, especially because her whole deal was based on an error. It was based on a mistake. Since it was based on a mistake, I'm sure anybody who makes a mistake it would retract. Certainly, she did a tshuva gemura, and yet she was punished. Now, of course, on Beit Melon Lachaveirai, tshuva doesn't help unless the person is Michael. But do we doubt that the person was Michael? There's absolutely no question that Moshe Rabbeinu was Michael. So it needs a beer, and who knows beer about what happened to Gedalei Olam, but nevertheless, I'd like to share with you a very appropriate thought. Hapam used to say, I believe in the name of the Shari Tshuva, regarding the Aveira of Chilul Hashem. On the Aveira of Chilul Hashem, the Gemara really says that there is no kapara, only Misa is a kapara for the Aveira of Chilul Hashem. Rav Palm explained that there's no kapara, there's nothing a person can do. Tshuva alone is not a kapara for the Aveira of Chilul Hashem. So great is the Aveira because it does something, it's payel something. However, if a person is misakein the Chilul Hashem, if someone fixes the Chilul Hashem, if somebody performs a Kiddush Hashem that sort of repays the Kvayt Shemayim that was violated, so then it's a kapara. It's not a kapara in this of the typical forgiveness, but it's a kapara in the sense that it sort of pays back. If you owe someone money, so there are two ways that a person can take care of debt. Either you can ask him to be Michael the debt, or you can repay the debt. Well, mechila may not work, but repaying does work. I remember using this to try to understand a difficulty in Nach. The difficulty is that we know that the B'nai Eli were punished. And they were punished that for generations they were not zeicha to positions of greatness and that they died young. So much so that the Gemara relates that even in the time of the Tanoim, there was still a family that was known as the children of Eli, where everyone died young in that family. And now you're talking in the time of the Tanoim, you're talking 2,500 years, more than 2,500, 3,000 years later. And I'm sorry, not 3,000 years later. But you're talking about a period of time that was 1,000 years later. So 1,000 years later and still? But we know that an Aveira only goes up to three generations. It only goes up, the punishment only goes three generations. How could it go so many generations? The answer is punishment only goes through so many generations. By B'nai Eli, it was a tikkun. What do I mean tikkun? They were mechalal the kvod of the Beis HaMikdash. People said, because of what the B'nai Eli did, that the Beis HaMikdash is a business. It's a business. The Kohenim tried to make a business out of it. They were mechalal the kvod of the Beis HaMikdash. When people died and said, why is that family dying? They said, because of they violated the covenant of Beis HaMikdash. That itself was a kapara to them. And as Rapam said, a kapara, that's a payback, that's something else. There's nothing to do with a punishment. It has to do with a repair of that which took place. And that would explain why the B'nai Eli didn't continue after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The B'nai Eli continued so many years, why aren't they around today? And The answer is that the tikkun is a tikkun. It's misakin, and that's the idea of a tikkun. So same thing now. Turning back to Miriam, about this, she did tshuva and she didn't get a punishment for it. But a tikkun, there was a tikkun. She was mechal kvoid Moshe Rabbeinu. She said, "Achrak v'Moshe diber Hashem." The fact that whole Klal Yisrael stood and waited while for 7 days she was a mitzaras, and they knew she's a tzaddikus. And still, the fact that that happened, that was a tikkun for the Aveira. That was a tikkun for the, it raised the stature of Moshe Rabbeinu. A tikkun, that's something else. That a person fixes, pays back. It's much better than mechila. Mechila means you didn't pay back. Certainly, it's better to pay back, and paying back has nothing to do with Einish. It's a way to repair the breach in Klai Shemayim or in Klai Moshe Rabbeinu in this case, and to repair it. And this is a very important lesson. It's an important lesson. In Beinom HaChaveri, people will say, I have to ask him for mechila, I have to ask him for mechila. Of course you have to ask him for mechila. But better, do a repair. Whatever damage you did to your relationship with someone, so do a repair on that thing that happened, and that is, of course, the ultimate way, because even Chil Hashem that has no kapara, it applies as well. I did have a difficulty in this week's parasha, unrelated to Miriam, but Moshe Rabbeinu had another relative mentioned here, and that's Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisrael, come with us, don't stay behind, come with us. Now, of course, if Yisrael is going to come with them, he's going to have to be Megayer. And not entire Klal Yisrael were Megayer, but Yisrael was not there. They all became B'nai Yisrael. He's going to have to be Megayer. We have a clown that we don't encourage people to be Megayer. And yet, it appears that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Yisrael to come with us and to be a part of Klal Yisrael, to be a chelik of Klal Yisrael. After all, he says that Heitavnu Lach, we're going to give you a piece of Eretz Yisrael. Rashi brings that Doishna Shel Yerichai was given as a homeland, so to speak, for the descendants of Yisrael. Meaning, there were no goyim that you were allowed to settle into Eretz Yisrael, but it seems to mean that the B'nai Yisrael, the B'nai Chayvav, were all Geirim. How could Moshe Rabbeinu seek to attract Geirim? Now, it's not such a kasha. Moshe Rabbeinu could do it. Because how could the Rabbanim later sort of make a takana that we don't look to attract Geirim? If in the Torah Beferish, Maaseh Shehaya Kachaya, that there was an attraction of Geirim. This is something that needs a beer. So, Akasha on the parasha, let me leave with a general difficulty. It's a sugya I happen to be in the middle of, and it needs a gather. Maybe someone will give me a good maramokim, not just the baisvara, but a maramokim on the following question. We know that women are peturis for mitzvah sasesha's mangrama, for mitzvah that's time-bound, women are peturis. Yet, if they do the mitzvah, they get schar keinim mitzvah v'aisa. They get schar like someone who's not commanded. In Bava Kama Pei Zayin, it says that about a blind person. We learn out of a pasuk that blind people, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we pass on to Chamin, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, blind people are pater from mitzvah saseh, so because of a hekish. And on that, Rabbi Yosef said, they still get schar keinim mitzvah v'aisa. In other words, they do the mitzvah, they're not commanded, and they get schar. What is the Geder Hadava? What is the general rule for that? Let's say, I'll say, a king is mechuyev to carry a sefer Torah with him all the time. I'm not a king. I'm not mitzvah. I'll get schar keinu mitzvah v'aisa. I'll carry the sefer Torah with me all the time. I'll get yenes schar that a king gets. Does that make sense? Does that make sense at all? Let's say I'm not a kohen. I'm not a Yisrael. I'm kohen olevi. I'm not mitzvah v'yinatem. I'll do Pinyin HaBen anyway. Einam Mitzvah Vais. I'll do a Pinyin HaBen. Ke'einam Mitzvah Vais. Sounds ridiculous. How can somebody say that If I'm not commanded, I'm going to do the mitzvah, you have no shaykhus to the mitzvah. What shaykhus do you have to the mitzvah? Someone's going to say that I'm not a nazir, but I'm going to do mitzvah's nazir. I'll do it voluntarily, even though I don't have to do it. All these things seem to be ridiculous. Ramesha holds that a guy who does mitzvahs in your day of age, tshuva zayim, he doesn't get schar. Get schar keinu mitzvah vayisa. Ramesha says that's not true. What's the rule? What's the gather? Why by a suma or by an isha? We say they're not commanded in the mitzvah, but if they do it, they get a keinu mitzvah vayisa. By a non-Jew, by me doing mitzvah sabmelech, or a Levi doing a mitzvah that applies to Israel, we would say that that doesn't make sense. It's not a mitzvah at all. It's worse. According to our minig, an isha makes a bracha when she shakes a lulav. Now, the minig of the mechaber in Tukuf Peitesivav, mechaber holds no, women don't make a bracha when they do a mitzvah seishas v'agrama. The Rama says they do make a bracha. Okay. According to Rama, we make a bracha. So look at this. Someone is a Levi. I'll do pinyin aben voluntarily. He'll make a bracha. Make a bracha on something that he's not commanded in. It sounds like an absurdity. It sounds like something that's ridiculous. Shumas ha-maistris, only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laretz. No mitzvah Chutz Laretz. I'll grow fruit in Chutz Laretz. I'll separate shumas ha-maistris, keinim and sub-a-vaisa. I'm not commanded. I'm doing it voluntarily. I make a bracha. I was like the Rama. Ridiculous. It needs a gather hadar. Why, in the multiple cases I mentioned, it's ridiculous. And by a woman, by a suma, we somehow say they get schar keinim and sub-a-vaisa even to make a bracha. This is something with the gather hadar, the rule, the guideline for it. Talach is clear, but the guideline for it certainly needs some sort of a beer or some sort of an explanation. So hoping maybe somebody will be able to come up with a proper explanation of it. And with these three thoughts, I want to wish everyone the absolutely most wonderfulest Shabbos that you've ever had, a Shabbos of Aliyah, a Shabbos of growth, a Shabbos where you use your Shabbos the way it should be. This Shabbos, do it this week. Get yourself a Shabbos Masechta. Something you learn on Shabbos. Something Shabbos, everyone has more time on Shabbos. Take a Shabbos Masechta, or maybe a Mishnayis even. Take it and do it. If you're somebody who has a yard site for a parent, take it and plan it for your parent's yard site to be able to make a siyum. To be able to make a siyum is very discouraging in Shemayim. You know something? There are neshamas in Shemayim. They have a yard site. And some neshamas, the children make a siyum for the yahrzeit, the old minig. Others, the children give danishes and some schnapps, oranges. Imagine the neshamas talking. What do you get for your yahrzeit? Oh, I made a siyum on the Sechta Shoshana. Isn't that wonderful? What do you get for your yahrzeit? Chocolate danishes. Chocolate danishes at yahrzeit, I'd say. So please, undertake it. People are torrid, people are busy, but Shabbos, everyone has more time on Shabbos. Take Shabbos between Mincha and Maariv, Shabbos day. People go home. Many shuls, the entire time that from Mincha to Maariv is an hour, 45 minutes. People spend 15 minutes going home and coming back. For what? For what? What? To eat something? Don't eat something. Stay in shul. Take a Shabbos Masechta, Shabbos Mishnayos, take something and make it happen. And with that, I want to wish everybody an absolutely extraordinary, wonderful Shabbos Kodesh to all in Yitzhak Hashem.